As we begin our message today, I think the word that I'm kind of keying off of and dealing with this morning is the word limitations. I think we all have heard that word. Maybe we tried to process in our own mind and our own life about maybe limitations as far as, you know, what holds us back or things that we kind of have a hard time getting over to accomplish certain things. I know in my own life, you know, I think probably where I've experienced just that whole concept of limitations in my life is in the world of education and school and the like. I think there was never a time growing up, even to this present day, where things just came naturally, you know, in the school department, particularly with reading comprehension. I mean, I could read something literally just three paragraphs, and someone could ask me, well, what did you just read? And let me reread it. I mean, it was that level. And if you've ever looked at any books that I have or read through school or something like that, the way I've learned to remark things and mark things again, just so I could go back to find out what I just finished reading, that was my life the entire way through school. And I always struggled with that because everything seemed to come natural and normal to people, the way they could read things and comprehend things and process things and write things. And it seemed like everything I ever did all the way up to the present takes two or three times as long as anyone else. And I finally, after I don't know how many years, finally kind of have my dissertation finished for my doctorate of ministry degree that it's going to be sent off within the next week or so. But the thing is, and it was just struggling through that. I can't do this. This isn't coming. I don't understand this. Why can't I grasp that? Why am I doing that? And it just always held me back. But through it all, God always had a way of working and helped me process things and puts the right people in my life at the right time to help me learn things and do things to get things done. And maybe when it comes to limitations, there's certain things that you've kind of worked with or kind of held you back or you thought through in life, how is this going to all play out? The readings for today, I really said these are great readings. Because in some form or fashion, they all kind of talk about limitations and what God does to kind of come in and embrace them and show, hey, this is how it can happen. And look beyond them to what he can do. The bottom line is God has a plan. He has a plan. And he has a desire for all people. And really that plan is, we'll call it, he has a call on your life. The person that we're going to focus on today is Jeremiah as the example. But the points that we see what's going on with Jeremiah is really applies to every one of us. And there's kind of three things here we can look at. You know, God called you, and God's call gives you no excuses, and God equips and enables you to do what he calls you to do. Our limitations will be brought up. We'll experience our limitations, but God always has a response. You have what you need. You have what you need. And it begins with, you know, first of all, God called you. God has a purpose he wants to achieve. So he calls a people into existence to carry out his ultimate plan and purpose. We go all the way back to the beginning in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis chapter 12. God there is, in a sense, communicating, speaking to Abraham. He says, Abraham, I have a plan. I have a desire. And ultimately, if you kind of boil it all down, it says, you know what? I want to bless all the inhabitants of this earth. I want all of them to know and experience a blessing. And all would be blessed ultimately through who was to come. And who was to come, that was the promise for the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus the Christ. So God sets things in motion. He raised up people. And along the way, he would call other people to help. And one group of people were the prophets. In a sense, in hope that the people may fulfill their destiny. One day so that all people could be one of the blessed and know what that means. So really the prophets reminded the people of God of their high calling. And along the way, the prophets pleaded with, in a sense, those chosen ones to be faithful in their covenant relationship they had with God. Because as we all know, we are prone to kind of wander and stray and go in different directions. So it was their job to kind of corral people, to kind of keep them focused on who they were and what they had been called to be and do. And God calls you into a relationship with himself. And one of the reasons was that through you, also people could know that they are one of the people that God wants to experience this blessing. So prophets like Jeremiah called Israel to be God's people for the fulfillment of the purposes he had for them in the world. That was how he worked through his people there in what we'll call the Old Testament. Today, it's his church. And the very bottom line is, why does the church exist? The church exists, this body of Christ exists, to carry out and continue God's purpose and plan in this world. And that's really the key to the meaning itself of history itself, the meaning of human existence itself. God had a plan for Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I want you to be one of my spokesmen to remind people of who they are and what they have on them. They have a call by God on their lives. So he says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, it's incredible what Jeremiah hears. And I think it's an incredible statement we all need to hear as well. This is what Jeremiah hears. I knew you before you were even born. And if you think about that, there is nothing more significant than hearing that from the creator of the universe. I knew you before you were even born. So immediately he sees that he is someone of value, that he is someone that's needed by God himself to create a universe that knew him before he was even born. And we could say the same thing for us. We are not here by any accident. All life has meaning. All life has value. We were known by God before we were even born. And the plan is all wrapped up there in what it says there in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, because he wants all people to be blessed. And what does that really truly mean? It means he wants all people to, in a sense, know and experience salvation. To know that they are right with God, to have their sins forgiven, to know that they are forgiven, and also to have this in Christ. That's what it means to be a part of that blessing. And it was something offered to all people. It means to be a part of God's family. And ultimately, he wants all of us to be kind of a part of this plan and desire so that all people could experience this and know it. The problem was the people in Jeremiah's day had forgotten who they were. They forgot why they were here. And so they went off and just kind of did their own thing and kind of did a cheap imitation of what they were supposed to be doing and what they were supposed to be about and what they had been created for. They kind of lost the big picture in their minds that reminded them of who they were and why they were here and why they were waking up in the morning. My guess is we've all been in that spot, right? You wake up in the morning and maybe there's stuff going on and you say, why am I here? You know, what's the purpose for all of this? You know, why am I here? It's one thing to just kind of, you wonder that sometimes as you're thinking maybe about a career or something like that, but to really get to that point in life where you wonder, why am I here? And not know how unsettling that is, to not even know why you're alive. And we can drift, we can wander in that. I hope you know why you are here. Ultimately. See, Jeremiah would spend about 40 years of his life trying to communicate God's vision for them to them, those people. Think about it, though. You look at the way the story goes, Jeremiah didn't seek that job. There wasn't a help wanted ad put out for a prophet. He said, well, you know, maybe I ought to think about that. No, God and the job came to him. Probably about 20 years of age when this happened. But when it did come, he was totally uncertain about what this meant. He was uncertain of himself. He was uncertain of his abilities. But see, the reality or the truth is this, that God's call gives you no excuses. Jeremiah, you know, he focused on, I don't know what to say. He doubted his speaking abilities, his inexperience, and all of that gave him excuses as to why he couldn't do what God had called him to do. And again, isn't that kind of where we're at times, where we say, all right, I've got a concern. Will I be able to do this? So I've never done that before. I've never, whatever this is before, I can't do this. Obviously, there's other people more qualified than me to do whatever it is. And it's literally a reflex. I think it just happens by reflex. Somebody, you know, something is put on us to think about something or to do something in some way, and immediately reflex, I can't. Because the limitations come up. And we may have many reasons. It may come just down to we just don't want to do it, or we can't. We don't want to look bad. Don't want to mess it up, don't want to be a failure, whatever it is. But again, I'm talking about here things that God has called us to be about in life. But it's been said so many times in different ways by different people, you know? God's not looking for people, and it's not based on ability. It's never based on ability, it's always based on availability and whether or not someone allows themselves to be used, because God is going to do the equipping, and God is going to do the enabling. If he's called us to be something or do something, he will make sure that we have what we need to do it. So he's not going to call you to do something if he's not going to get behind it. And he says, you know what, I'm going to give you two of the most important things and really the only things you need, two of them. Number one, I'm going to give you my presence. I will be with you. And then he also says, the other thing is, I'm going to give you my word, meaning the scriptures. I'm going to give you the word of God. I'm going to give you that tool you need in order to equip you or be for you what you need it to be. So the means by which Jeremiah would accomplish the Lord's work and mission was the word. It's all he had. And in a sense, that's all God wanted. You know, he says, you got exactly what you need. God promised to be faithful in using that word to accomplish his purposes. Now, there's one statement in there. It's kind of interesting. If that sneaks in, sometimes immediately we start wondering, which says, don't be afraid of them. Now, if you're called to do something and all of a sudden someone is talking to you about, hey, in the midst of it, don't be afraid of. That causes us to say, well, all right, what am I getting myself into if I'm not supposed to be afraid of certain things or not afraid of certain people? You know, what am I up against? The idea is, God says, you know what? What I'm calling you to may not always be the way you want it to be, or also you may not always, every day, every moment, enjoy what's happening. But we're reminded in Proverbs 29, fear of man will prove a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You got to know who's with you and who's got your back in this. Our thoughts about what we think people may say or do, in a sense, can keep us from just kind of moving ahead. But I am with you, watch over you. So really it all leads to kind of this one thing. You know, who is going to rise to the occasion? Who's going to rise in our homes? Who's going to rise to the occasion in our school? Who's going to rise to the occasion in our sphere of influence where we find ourselves in life? Who's going to rise? With the idea of, you remember who you are. So much when we think of Jeremiah's audience and prior to that, so much of their problems stemmed from their lack of God's history and story being told and repeated. You could almost do this as a little side study. Every single time, almost without exception, if you look at when kind of God's people and Scripture kind of wandered in the direction they weren't supposed to go, you could almost 100% of the time trace it back to one thing. They forgot or didn't pass on the story. Almost without exception. And by not processing it themselves or passing it on, they forgot who they were and why they were there or what's going on. As one person has said, the road of biblical illiteracy leads to destruction and judgment. The road of biblical literacy leads to destruction and judgment. I think it starts with one place. I remember I was just listening to a podcast on my run yesterday, and I like the way one person put it. He's talking about just this topic of, you know, the story, and he says, again, it's going back to what you hear in the airport. I mean, in the airplane before you take off, right? In the event of something happening, you know, put your mask on first to get oxygen before you help someone else. And he says, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? If we're not in the Word ourselves, if we're not reminding ourselves of the story and being in it, what do we have to help somebody else with? See, our world is an interesting place today. We're trying to parent or grandparent or influence kids that live in a world where today there really is no objective right or wrong. Everyone's kind of off, kind of figuring out themselves. And what's even worse is we live in a world where the idea is, it's up to you, it's up to me, it's up to us. We're supposed to discover and find our own identity from within or for whatever reason. When God says, hey, I've already given you your identity. Your baptism kind of tells you what your identity is. You're a child of God. My name's on you. We don't have to go looking for or deciding or crafting or making our identity. And the trap that can be for people. So you say, all right, so what am I supposed to do with all of this? Where I start? I need some help. And again, God says you have what you need. Really, it starts with, do you have my word? And is it regularly coming into you? It's all you need. And I think getting that story into people is what's so important today. I truly believe that the Christian school is the major way in which evangelism is going to have to take place in our culture and world today, where the story is not being told. So I'm always so grateful for our school and what we're doing in our preschool. And we've ramped it up a notch in trying to provide resources to our families. We've always, for the last, I don't know how many years now, we've always, every new kid, we've talked about this before, we give them a copy of, you know, a Bible. But we're doing something even greater now, ramping it up. So every new family that comes into our preschool, not only do they get their copy of the Beginner's Bible that walks through some of the major stories of Scripture, along with that comes a letter, welcome from our church, but also we're including resources for families, helping your child have a relationship with God, helping your child welcome others, learning what it means to be hospitable in life, helping your child grow through just faith conversations, how to talk to your kid about God. And then also to help out as a resource, helping parents have tools to be able to just pray with their kids. So here's a couple suggested mealtime prayers. You can keep this at your dinner table or whatever, and we come together. Hey, let's pray together as a family. Maybe for the first time if they haven't done it before. Or here's a couple examples of a bedtime prayer and the Lord's Prayer. To be able to give tools to parents or families that may say, I don't really know how to do all this, but I want to. We're giving them some tools to be able to do that. And we're excited to be able to offer that. So all the new families are getting a whole bag. We're going to give all the existing families over the next 2 weeks the copies of these booklets plus the prayer cards that they can use at home. So all the families that are already here can have that. And then we also, in the gift bags, throw in popcorn and hot chocolate, too, for the family to enjoy. Just to give them a nice family time together. But we're excited because we say, you know what? After all is said and done, if we're going to talk about it, we need to get behind what families need in order to be able to do something maybe they want to do, but isn't they really know how to or to help them out. So we're excited about that because we know how important that story is to get into kids in the youngest of years. Jeremiah had his excuses. I don't know how to speak. I don't know what to say. I'm too young. I don't have the experience. And I like the way God said to him, you know, hey, Jeremiah, do you have a mouth? Open it. And just, it's almost like you get the image of God just kind of pouring it in, saying, hey, if you need to say something here, say this. Open wide. I will put my word in your mouth. I'll give you the words to say. And also, you're not going to be alone. You're not going to be alone. And then to complete it and kind of come full circle with all this, you know, when you think of the New Testament lesson for today, 1 Corinthians 13, probably one of the most beautiful descriptions of love ever written. And you look at that, and it's the perfect example. And you say, well, that's not really me. Love is patient, kind, and I think we want it to be. We're limited. But you know what it is? It's a beautiful description of Jesus. Because if you read all those descriptions of love, and you say, that's Jesus, and who he is, and you know what? It shows us a Savior as he is toward us. He's infinitely patient. He's not resentful. He certainly isn't rude. He's always showing his kindness, and he's bearing under some insult sometimes or resentment or the frustration that comes with, you know, the things we do sometimes in our life, the way he's able to endure. It shows him doing all this with hope that we should be healed and saved and come to the life he desires for all of us. And you know what? It never, ever, ever ends. And to read that and say, I long for that. But you know what? That's Jesus. And his love for me. And that gives me the very thing that I need to be able to absorb so that I can share that. Then you get to the gospel lesson today, and if you go back and you look at that story, what something's interesting, and the one thing I was reading, I said, I never thought of that before, I saw that before, but the man in the story, the demon-possessed guy that's going crazy in the church, he doesn't even ask for help. He's just acting like a lunatic, all right? He's clearly suffering, a demon is ruling his life, and he's not saying, you know, Jesus, could you please help me? He in no way is seeking any help from Jesus. We would say he's not very attractive at the moment. As a matter of fact, anyone who was around someone like that would try to run as far as they could away from the guy or distance themselves from him. Except for Jesus. Jesus' heart goes out to him. He understands his predicament and situation. And so you have to stop and say, that obnoxious demon-possessed guy that I would run away from, If that's how Jesus responded and worked in that person's life and showed him that kind of compassion and mercy, how is he towards me? And the reassurance again of what Jesus wants to offer us, wants us to know and experience that blessing. See, after all is said and done, when all you have is the word, it's enough. It's all you need. When all you have is Jesus, all you have is Christ, it's really all you need. When all you have is love, it's really all you need. God ultimately wants people to know and experience his love and forgiveness, new life. And he wants us to be sharers of that. We who have experienced that. We can go home and we can make our list of our limitations. We can go home and make a list of all of our excuses. Don't know how to do this. I don't understand anything about the Bible. I've never done this before. And all the things on why we think God can't use us to bring his light and life to the world. But the bottom line is, Jesus says, well, do you have? Good. It's all you need. And really, if you have the word, if you have Christ, if you have his love, it's all you need. And sometimes he wants us to be in that position so that he really can truly work in and through us in the way it needs to happen. So it really isn't about us. It's about him and what he desires to do in and through us. It's really all you need. And God can do amazing things through that. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.